This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crowe. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
Hello, friends. Allison Crowe here, and this is episode number 36. So I did something fun today. I hopped on my Facebook Live where my fans and my clients all pay attention and where my family has all hidden me. And I asked for some ideas around what they would want to hear on the podcast. So, and actually, if you're listening and would like to, come over to my Facebook page, Allison Crowe, or message me on Instagram, Allison_Crowe. And I would love to hear any topics that would be helpful to you, inspiring to you for the Better Life, Better Work show. So I did that today. I got lots of awesome topics, but the one that really fired me up was evolving your brilliance. What motivates you and what strategies do you use, by Malika Robinson. And I thought this was perfect because at the recording of this, it's February 8th and my 47th birthday was 2 days ago. And I am feeling particularly brilliant and charged and powerful and beautiful on the inside and out. I am feeling deeply in my hips and in my being, content, powerful. I feel like all my goals and dreams are possible, even the ones that I have not created or manifested yet, but I know that they are coming. And so here is episode number 36, Evolving Your Brilliance. The first thing I wanted to do, something I've never done before, I bought myself a present for my birthday. I bought myself the new Oracle card deck from Tulsa Silver, who has written the book Outrageous Openness. Excuse my awe there. She wrote Outrageous Openness, one of my favorite books. And she has this deck called the Wild Offering Oracle. And it's done, the art in it is done by one of my favorite artist, Kate Daisy. I love the whimsical flowers, the wildflower look. So I pulled a card for this podcast and I thought it was perfect. The card is courage. Divine courage is not the absence of fear, but a nudge that says, keep going, do it, don't worry, all will be well. You have to get quiet enough to hear it. Dear Divine, may I feel your courage and your will. And when I pulled this afternoon, I knew that this would be the podcast episode that I would share with you guys. So really taking into the fact that courage and a willingness to continue is a giant part of my brilliance. So with that, I've made a couple of lists here I want to share with you. The first list is my values. I recently did a values clarification exercise, and pretty soon, it's not there yet, so don't go looking. It's on my agenda to set up a values clarification assessment that you can opt into on my website. And I usually do, the first one I did was probably 15 years ago, and for a long time, they did not change. And they have shifted over the years. As I've gotten older, as I have more life experience, my deepest core values have absolutely shifted. So my values fall under what motivates you. They also help me with my strategy. But when talking about and answering Malika's question, what motivates you? So some of my motivating factors are my values. Number one, connection and belonging. connection and belonging. And in an offline world, it is really easy to be not really connected. And that was one of the reasons I created the Soulful Success School for Life and Business, because I wanted to connect with a larger audience. I wanted to create a tribe that connected with each other. I wanted to provide a place of belonging. I also value, I remember being in second grade at Hyde Park Baptist High School in Austin, Texas. And I remember asking, Mr. Ed Shotwell was our religious director. I remember asking him if I could say the prayer in chapel. And I remember at a very young age praying to God that we would always remember that God was about relationship, our relationship with Him, our relationship with ourselves, and our relationships with others. And I just think it's so cute that that long, curly, blonde-haired girl way back then knew that relationships mattered. I also have been willing to put humor in. I think humor is important. I love to be funny. I love to be funny. I love to make my clients laugh. And a lot of people in the coaching world often poo-poo that, as they say, oh, you're outsourcing the discomfort. Listen, bucko, I've had plenty of discomfort, and sometimes this personal growth shit is just fucking funny. And so I always have to remember, too, in my business and in my brilliance, that humor is really important. And if I'm not having fun becoming me, and if I'm not having fun becoming in my business, then what's the point? And so I guess that's part of my originally Enneagram 7 style, which has also changed over the last couple of years to a little bit more 5. Authenticity is obviously important to me. Let's make a bunch of noises. Authenticity is important to me because many of the leaders that I followed and loved were wonderful on stage and not quite the same behind. And I found early in my career that when I shared truths of who I was, instead of being rejected, I was actually accepted. I might have been rejected by the wrong people, but I was accepted by the right people. And so I remember 12 years ago deciding that I was going to be authentic. Now that's a buzzword. Now it's very popular. A client today suggested a topic of like, what is that thing that you dare not do? And I live a pretty unfiltered life, often to the discomfort of my family members and my husband. And I'm doing what I want to do. I'm being me. I'm sharing behind the scenes in my life and in my business. And I really don't have any secrets. Growth and learning are another one of my values. I love growing and learning. I love information. I love science. I love spirit. And the last one that I've been willing to finally put on my values, I think I never allowed this one to come in before because I felt ashamed and I'm over feeling ashamed about money. But the other value that is one of my motivators is prosperity and profit. And so I believe I've lived a very prosperous life. And I haven't always lived a profitable life. And so I am really stepping into and claiming prosperity, both financially and holistically in life. But I'm also declaring profit. Profit in my bank accounts, profit in my business accounts, profit in my emotional accounts, profit in my relationship accounts. This is the year of profit and profit first. I've been working the profit first system. About to take the next layer of that with my CPA, or I'm sorry, not my CPA, my bookkeeper is a profit first planning professional, and I'm going to spend some time with her taking that to the next level, really honing in on my money story. So with that, I want to tell you a few things outside of my values that really do motivate me. They keep me going. They get me up in the day, and they have become they are still, I don't want to call them the dangling carrot, because they are the things that are me now. And I'm sure there has been a time when I felt empty of these things. So we already talked about personal growth. I love personal growth. My husband and I talk often. He's not really in the personal growth world in the same vehicle that I am. He doesn't read the same books, but he's a grower and I'm a grower. And we both knew that choosing to be partners with each other, we would evolve and grow and work on those things, you know, in a partnership and in a marriage. And so he grows differently than I do, but it's so fun that we look at our marriage, like I may read a book, but he gets it another way. So I am fascinated by personal growth. Absolutely, it used to come from a place of not enoughness. It came from a place of needing to be better and people pleasing. And now I just really enjoy it. I don't have as much people pleasing. That is actually number two on this list. But I don't have as much, and I just really enjoy learning new things. I enjoy growing. I enjoy the dopamine hit of an aha, and I love the joy of implementing my ahas. The second thing that motivates me is giving and people pleasing. So originally the core wound out of that was needing approval. And as I've learned to give myself my own approval, as I've learned to please myself, as I've learned to trust myself, as I've learned to create for myself and know that it blesses my clients, my people pleasing has diminished. It's certainly not been eliminated. And originally my giving from a very young age, I'm pretty sure my giving heart was about being liked. And there is an episode, I can't remember if it's number two or number three or number four. I'll have Elise put it in the show notes. There is an episode about receiving or about money. We'll have to figure that one out. But it really is the power of receiving. There's a book by Andrea Owen that really changed my awareness about people who are giving, 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 but have a hard time receiving. And it blew my mind open, and it helped me realize that how much of my giving was manipulation because I was trying to people please, very subconscious. And so I did a lot of work on that, and I've done a lot of work. I'm learning to ask for help. I'm learning to receive. I'm learning to say thank you. I'm learning to be supported. So giving and pleasing, healing that part of me motivates me, learning how to give and to receive. And so on the receiving aspect, that's been part of the healing journey. And then finally, the other thing that motivates me, and it will be so fascinating to see, because this is feeling really close to being completely healed. For all I know, it might be a lifelong journey, but it's feeling really close to it. The last thing that really motivates me is healing my core money wounds. And so I don't have biological kids. I have amazing bonus kids. They're my stepchildren. My husband's from his first marriage. They're grown now. I have my dogs. I was never able to or decided not to have biological children. And so my business has been the vehicle for my personal and spiritual growth. And my marriage has been a vehicle for my personal and spiritual growth. And my money stories have been a huge part. A lot of people have money issues. A lot of people don't have money issues, but I've had a lot of money issues, and I have both had misery and suffering and delight in healing those money stories. So those are the things that motivate me, that drive me. Those are many facets of what is my soul's work to do. There's a whole lot more, because I know my soul had a long list. Maybe yours did too. And then here are some of the strategies that I use to evolve and nurture my brilliance. Obviously, my spiritual practices. And as I studied personal growth and as I got into coaching 14 years ago, and the more I studied personal growth, I couldn't help but study spiritual growth. And the more I kept reading, the more I kept studying, the more I got online and spent time with people outside of my community, outside of my church, outside of my city, outside of my little socioeconomic white Texas girl bubble, the more broad my spiritual practices came. And I also was encouraged and taught to listen to my intuition. You know, I had been raised not by my parents, but my church and school, that I wasn't powerful at all, that God was the only thing powerful in my life. And I don't believe that's true. Someone says, how did I know? Don't I believe the word of God? I said, listen, I think the Bible is fantastic, but I kept reading. So my spiritual practices, particularly praying and asking for help, particularly meditating. I'm a terrible meditator, but I do it anyways. And listening to my body, listening to the vibrations in my body and sensations in my body, and listening and developing a relationship with my intuition is number one. Number two strategy for evolving your brilliance, lots and lots of paper. I wrote that because I laugh as I'm holding this right now. I have a brand new legal pad. I just ordered from Amazon like a set of 12, a dozen legal pads. On my desk right now, I have at least 10 journals in the works. You know, one is for brain dumping, one is for taking notes in classes, one is just for drawing. So lots and lots of paper. So I spend a lot of time with pen and paper. It's not all organized, it's not all pretty. I like to connect my thoughts with my body, because otherwise the thoughts just stay in my head and that begins to create a little bit of anxiety or overwhelm. So I write a lot of things down. I doodle. Art, creating expressive arts has been huge for me in motivating me to bring some of the inner stuff out. So lots and lots of pens, paper, art supplies. Number three, learn and study. What strategies? I told my clients recently, it's like one of the things that I attribute not only to my outer success, but also to my inner brilliance, is I love to learn and study. So that obviously goes with what motivates me and what my values are. I love taking classes. So one of the recent classes I bought was from James Wedmore about making video ads. I am constantly learning business things. I'm constantly learning. I was revisiting this week, thanks to the Oprah podcast, I was revisiting Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now, and thinking about the pain body. So I do a lot of emotional and psychological learning. I do a lot of coaching learning. I do a lot of business learning. I look at everything with like, what can I learn from this situation? And I do a lot of studying. I do a lot of studying. So I'm reading 3 or 4 books right now. I'm working on slowing those things down and doing one at a time really deep. But like, I'm committed to mastering the material and building a story brand. And as I do that, it causes me to slow down and use my mind purposely and connect that with my spirit. I am also reading The Last Word on Power by Tracy Goss. I'm fascinated by the brain. And then also obviously doing spiritual study. And spiritual study for me right now is not about modality. It's about slowing down and meditating and listening. So that was number three. Number four, I read a lot, which goes along with studying. So I read a lot. I do watch a lot of TV. I do a lot of things in my spare time too that have nothing to do with my brilliance. If anything, they kind of numb it. So just acknowledging that authenticity, I watch a lot of murder shows, both real and fiction. So I do a lot of reading. And part of the learn and study, I have a little side note here, skill building. This is one of the things I'm constantly telling my clients. One of the reasons I feel genuinely brilliant and am able to express this, and I don't think it has to happen. I just watch a lot of new business owners as they begin to put their work out into the world. So this is brilliance in the context of work, is they feel insecure. And of course they feel insecure if they're brand new to their work. And so I have 14 years of coaching. Before that, I have graduate school in educational psychology. I was headed to get my PhD in counseling, so I had been studying that beforehand. I'd been a teacher for 5 years, actually much longer than 5 years. I was a teacher all through college as well. I've had many, many different jobs. I've been in sales since 2003. Actually, that was official sales. So I have a lot of time on task, which grows my skills. And so there are many skills that are new to people. So for example, sales, even if you're a great coach, you may not be great at sales skills. Even if you're a great provider of your service or a great artist, you might not be good at promoting yourself, marketing, and sales. And so I've had a lot of time on task, and that time on task actually creates not just confidence, but it creates space in my brain to learn something else. Because when my brain doesn't have to spend any energy on those things, it actually creates more reserves. And so the more I wish I could give confidence to the newbies, and it is just one of those things that you don't have to wait. Please don't wait until you're confident to start. Please don't wait until you're confident to become brilliant. Just know that part of your path is building your confidence, and it will bring you to brilliance. Number five on my list, I'm going to take a sip of my coffee here. Number five on my list of strategies for evolving my brilliance is hanging out with other shiny people. And so not only do I hang out with other shiny people, but I also hang out with their shadow. One of the things that my colleagues and friends, my best friends who are not in business, my friends who are in business, and my colleagues who have spent time in masterminds, coaching, going to their events, them coming to mine in conversations, is that we are all, you know, doing all these things that I've already talked about. They value a lot of the same things as well. We don't always believe the same things. We don't always have the same politics. We don't always have the same relationship styles. Our practices the same way. And what I do love is our authentic presence, our intention to get insight and understanding and connection out of life, and our willingness to bring not only our shiny parts, but also our shadow parts. So my coaching and colleagues has been really helpful. Number six and seven are kind of combined, are the self-love work that I have done and the stopping of the self-judgment. One of the things I realized that has really helped me, and if I were you, I would start. If you are working on your brilliance and you want one takeaway, stop judging yourself. Stop it. It is not useful. It's one thing to experiment and make an assessment, like acknowledge or become a noticer, but judging ourselves and the mental chatter that comes along with self-judgment or judging where we are is useless. Did you hear me? Useless. So self-hate is useless too. Please stop hating yourself and speaking horribly to yourself. I remember I had a client one time message me and she said, I just had a major insight. She was talking to herself as she was driving home one day, and then she realized she pulled over and that if a friend had been sitting in the car saying the same things to her that she was saying to herself, she would have kicked that friend out of the car. And so very early on, I got that talking to myself in that way didn't help at all. It was not useful. And then in the last few years, I've really worked on my judgment of myself and my judgment of others. And I have done that through quite a few different tools. The first one that radically changed my ability to be brilliant, both in my heart and in my business and in my life and even in my marriage, was the work of Byron Katie. And the first question somebody asked was a turnaround around the statement that I said that my husband should trust me. And they sent me the four questions and the turnaround in an email. Her name was Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer. And that blew my mind open. And immediately, from then on out, all I ever needed was to notice my judgment and turn it around. I didn't even need steps two, three, and four. I just needed to notice when I was judging others and then own it. And that has set me free of so many burdens that dull my shine, of so much depression that dulled my shine. So learning to trust myself, learning to approve of myself, learning to clean up my own money stuff instead of criticizing family members. And so for me, that has been becoming an owner and There were a lot of things I would own about creation, but man, was I still judging and projecting. So judging and projection, judging myself, judging others, and projection were so damaging to my process. And for me, they took a really long time to let go of. And I find myself often, I'm not saying I'm never judgmental. I'm not saying something doesn't cross my mind, but I have a little radar detector, a loving radar detector. It's not a judgy or critical one, but it just gently says, Allison, you're judging. Get curious about that. And so when I commit to being what we call in my program, be a noticer and be a decider and be an owner. And so I notice my thinking, and in noticing my thinking, instead of judging my thinking, instead of judging others, I've been able to cultivate so much self-love, self-trust, self-ownership. And I've been able to be what my friend Varian Brandon calls unoffendable. So we've done a podcast or two on being unoffendable. And that work is also, it's very similar to Byron Katie's The Work. It's just another way of doing it. And Varian talks about being unoffendable. And I've taken her class two or three times because I just love the way that she moves through life with different people of different politics and religions with so much love. And so being unoffendable is amazing, the weight that it takes off my shoulders. And so those things really, when I think about the phrase evolving your brilliance, man, I did a lot of things to shine my shit up. But really paying attention to my shadow deeply, really paying attention to my own pain and my own judgment, learning how to say, there, there, fear, I see you. There, there, doubt, I see you. Instead of just doing all the things. So as I look at the strategy list, there's a lot of doing. And what was most effective in all those doings, what really greased the wheels and sped up the brilliance of all that doing, was the releasing of the self-judgment, releasing the judgment of others, and cultivating kind, loving self-talk in my head. And honestly, you guys, there's a picture that's come out recently. There's a couple that are on the podcast and you'll see them. I went to Varian's event and we had this amazing photographer. We had this quick little photo shoot. And I remember waking up that morning knowing that I'd have the photo shoot, but I didn't know that we were going to have that when we came. So I hadn't brought anything special. I just had my little Breathe Y'all t-shirt and blue jeans. And I woke up that morning, we had our makeup done by a professional, and I was like, just do a really natural look. And then I went, and when it was my turn, I was like, I'm so excited about this. I just am in love with myself. And Brooke was giggling, the photographer was giggling, but I was just like, I just feel really good about myself. I feel really brilliant. I feel really wise. I'm approaching my 47th birthday, and I just am in love with the essence of who I am. And I was kind of playing with that in front of the group, and I don't know. I can't even judge what people were thinking about me. I imagine that some might have found delight in that, and others may go, well, that woman's crazy and full of herself. And you know what? I am full of myself. I spent a lot of time glorifying my emptiness, and it didn't serve me. It doesn't serve God. It doesn't serve my clients. And realizing my enoughness, my perfection in my imperfection, seeing the beauty that I am, even the things in my life, I call it the shit has even turned to gold. So even the difficult things in my life, and I'm sure I will go through difficult times again, and it always ends up gold if I let it be. And so, yes, I'm feeling particularly brilliant right now. But it's not because of anything on the outside. It's because of this tender, loving inner work, both emotionally, spiritually, and intellectually, that I do. And so that, my friends, is this episode. Have the courage to do the inner work, the emotional work, the spiritual work, and the outer work in your life and business, and you will not only have better life and better work, you will have brilliant life and brilliant work. So thank you, Malika Robinson, for asking this question. I really appreciate it. And thank you guys for listening. Please feel free to share on social media and tag me, Allison Crow, or tag the Better Life, Better Work Show. Would love it if you would take a screenshot of this episode and share it. Help me grow. See, I'm learning how to receive. Help me grow. And as I said at the beginning, your what are those things called? The ratings, the reviews. Little brain fart there for a moment. Your reviews really help me spread the word. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you learning. And if you have any ideas for topics, I'd love to hear those too. Thanks for spending time with me, and I will see you next week.
This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.